And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Well, it made my heart in love, and it wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faith to cry, and he'll answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer with joy, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus made me cry. Oh, sometimes my past seems drear, without a ray of cheer. And then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. Oh, the mist of sin may rise and hide the sorry sky. But just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Oh, now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faces cry, and he'll answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer with joy, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus every night. Oh, I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. Oh, I go to him in prayer, and he knows my every care. Oh, and just a little talk with Jesus makes me right. Oh, now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faith in time. And we'll answer by and by. Oh, and you know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes you right.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, thank you, Jesus. Our pastor is back, and if you were here Sunday, gave a testimony of how God has just healed him and just bringing them along. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to introduce him and tell him how much he means to us and to me. And Pastor, I respect your leadership. I trust your leadership, and I thank you for being my pastor. Brother and sister, would you welcome Pastor Billy?
Well, God is still good. Amen. God is good all of the time. Amen. Even if we're not having a good time, God's still there. God's still with us. God never leaves us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me. Turn your attention to Acts chapter 9. And I'll begin to read there at verse number 1. I thought these Barnes brothers were going to teach my lesson. You'll see what I'm talking about in a little while. Amen. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, you know what they're talking about? This way. Amen. This way. Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. You want just plain, easy to understand English? Here it is. Who is the Lord? I am Jesus. There it is. Whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Somebody point at the center of your chest. What am I supposed to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. I'll stop there. I can continue reading. It's good, 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 good stuff. Amen. But I'll pause there for a little while. I want to talk for a little bit on this subject. I'm saved. Now what? Amen. I'm saved. Now what? Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would both quicken my mind, quicken, Lord, my understanding, and Lord, let me have your will, God, to be accomplished in this place tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. Lord, I even ask it now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would have your way and your will, God, your anointing, God, to be upon each of us. And Lord, let your will be accomplished. Put words in my mouth. Open, Lord, our hearing. And Lord, touch our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You follow God as His Word gives direction. Saul, in this opening example, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Man, every one of us should be asking that question. Every one of us should ask, God, what do you want me to do? Amen. I know I do. God, what do you want me to say? Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? God, how in the world can I express that what you have given me? Lord, help me to say it. Help me, God, to do it. Saul, now that was Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Saul found out through Ananias' ministry to him. You know, God didn't give him a verbal instruction on every little thing he needed to do. But he told him how to find out. Amen. Amen. Our destiny is not secured because we have been born again. You know, you could be lost. You could turn away. It would be absolutely insanity. It would be beyond my own comprehension, how that once you have known this truth, once you have felt the anointing and the power and the Holy Ghost, when you know God is real, how could you ever pretend that God's not real? That's in my mind impossible. There's no going back. I can't unring the bell. You see, I know who God is. Amen. And it's an exciting life. Amen. I want to do that which God wants me to do. God, what shall I do? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Getting the Holy Ghost is an awesome experience that everybody ought to have. Amen. I think everybody that's born should have the experience of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, being born again of the water and of the Spirit. It's such a wonderful thing. And it is for everybody, I'll tell you that. It is for everybody. But it's only the beginning. Our life, when you are born as a baby, when you in the hospital, you know, that's not, oh, my baby's been born. I've got a son. You know, that life is just beginning. And when we are born again, our spiritual life is just beginning. It would be absolutely terrible if that cute little baby, you know, beautiful little perfect fingers and just awesome little toes and just a cute little face. It's so beautiful. But that baby can't stay like that for very long. It's got to grow. To be healthy, that baby's got to grow. Amen. That baby has to take on features, you know, it has to gain weight and strength and knowledge and understanding, and it's got to go to first grade like Elizabeth did this morning. Amen. Then after a while, all the way to fourth grade like James. Who knows, after a little while, they'll be graduating, they'll be college, they'll be spouses, weddings. Man, I'm looking forward to all that stuff. He's not ready yet. But that stuff's, he's got to, you know, if the natural course of life is going to lead him toward those things. You know, in our spiritual life, God has a great, big, wonderful, wide open spiritual life for every one of us. And we can't stay like we were on the day that we received the Holy Ghost. We can't stay in that state. But we got to grow. It's the natural course of events. And also, this is also true. I have to put this in there. You now have an enemy of your soul. The devil. The devil cannot make you do anything. That's a lie from himself, from the devil. He cannot make you do anything. He is powerless against the Holy Ghost. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. When you have the Holy Ghost, when you have a relationship with God, when you are truly living your very best for him, the devil cannot make you do it. He is powerless. My God is all powerful. Our destination hadn't been reached yet. I'm still looking for that day. Amen. We're going to make it. That day is going to come. It might be before I get done teaching tonight. It might be before the sunrise comes up in the morning. It might be very soon. Or we might get to live tomorrow out. Well, maybe the next day too. And some days to come after that. But he is coming. Amen. We haven't reached our full destination yet. But Jesus Christ is with us. He is for us. He will never leave us. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Amen. Jesus Christ is the greatest example that has ever lived. Amen. We cannot go wrong following Jesus. Amen. We will not err if we follow the Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Accept the challenge. Live for God. We're saved now. What? Well, live for God. Be serious about it. It's not just going to church for an hour and a half or 2 hours on Sunday. It's more than just going to a house of God once in a while. We have to, and I have to say this too, it is a challenge. The world wants to tear you down. The devil wants to steer you astray. There's all kinds of carnality in our own fleshly nature tries to bring us down. But we can make it. We can live for God. Amen. Well, what now? Well, now we got to live for God. Part of living for God is, I'm just going to give you some things here tonight. It's not even really a sermon. It's practical teaching. It's living for God. Reading your Bible. Amen. Is part of your Christian armor. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Okay, you're saved. Now what? Take the helmet of salvation. I've repented. I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking in other tongues. I have the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, well, where do I start? Start at page number one. And read it all the way to the maps in the back. Amen. Just keep on going. Amen. And when you get done doing it again, thank you, Brother Dyke. Amen. It's not just once. Amen. Personally, I like the King James Version. But get yourself in the Word of God. It's a part of our spiritual walk, of our Christian armor. Amen. Take the Bible with you to church. Amen. I know we got a screen, we got a computer. I don't know if we've advanced or not. But we do got all this other stuff. But still bring your Bible. Still look at it. Still look into it. Find it. Put your finger on the page. Make sure that the preacher's reading it right. And by the way, preachers, read the Word for exactly what the Word says. Be very careful. You know, I've made mistakes, and I sometimes still make mistakes in reading. I get a little excited, and I skip a word or put words. But I want to try to say it exactly just like it says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bible reading. Prayer. Pray in secret. Pray when nobody knows you're praying. Pray together and joint prayer, Monday night prayer. Pray in church. But not using vain repetitions. Not just saying the same thing over and over and over and over. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. The unjust judge avenged the widow because of her continual coming. That's Luke 18 and 5. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. I tell you what, what we need is in the Word. Amen. God will help us to meet our need with His Word. Pray every day. Daily prayer. Pray with your family if they are saved. Develop the ability to pray at length. Pray before every service. The Sunday morning prayer at 10:30 to quarter, just 15 minutes of prayer. I'll tell you what, that does something in the Spirit. Amen. Come and join us. It's powerful. It'll help you and it will help us. Amen. It'll help this church. You see, God hears and answers prayer. Amen. Obey the scriptures relating to prayer. In sickness, call for the elders. Call me. I'll come pray for you. Amen. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray, or let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Amen. It's given to us, instructed to us on what to do when we're sick. We need to get prayed for. Amen. Now, I'm not against doctors. I go to the doctor. I testify to that. But my trust is not in the doctors. Man, oh, yeah, we'll try this drug. Oh, no, we'll try that one. Oh, we need to have some more of this one. And then we're going to try that one. 6 hours later in the emergency room, they ain't did a lick of nothing. It's still the same as it was when I came in. They're practicing medicine. This and that and the other thing, and none of it worked. Well, no, I do have to say they helped me. God gave them wisdom, and they did help me. I have to say that. It's true. But you know what? I give the glory to God. Amen. It's my life is in God's hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bible reading, prayer. How about this one now? This might hurt your feelings. Fasting. Say that with me. Fasting. Say it a little louder. Fasting. Let me hear you this time. Come on. Fasting. Fasting is a powerful weapon. In case you don't know, fasting is one of the best weapons that we have to obtain humility. Power over Satan. Amen. Fasting doesn't change God. God is the same always. Fasting gets us ready for God to use us. Amen. The man with the lunatic son, the examples in Scripture, the disciples asked, why could we not cast him out? Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Amen. Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, they came to him, or there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I besought him to thy disciples, or brought him to thy disciples. See, I can't read right. I'm trying, though. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Do you get the sense that Jesus is just a little bit frustrated with the saints? And Jesus rebuked the devil. And he departed out of him. Jesus didn't have any problem with this case, with this boy, with the mother's request. A certain man came. Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Verse 21, here's the key. He's given you, you can unlock this mystery right here. "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." You know, it's pretty tough to have the lunatic boy right there. I'll say, "Well, let me hurry up and go ahead and pray and fast right now." All right. You see, you would have had to have prayed before and fasted before so that your faith was high, so that when the need did come, when the lunatic boy was right there, "In the name of Jesus, devil, get out. Leave this boy right now." You got to be ready to pray that prayer ahead of time. Jesus was teaching his disciples how to live for God. These examples are what we live for God by. Sister Greeley on Monday night prayer was saying, had left a sentence or two of comment in her prayer request, "Lord, help us to pray and believe right then." You know, I'm very privileged to be able to pray for people, but I don't have no power. But Jesus Christ does. Amen. And when you know the same Jesus that I know, and God can do miracles through your hand and your prayer just as well or just as often or even more than He does in mine. Amen. And I've been privileged to see literally hundreds of miracles with my own eyes. I'm not just talking about reading it on the page. I'm talking about seeing it happen. Amen. Fasting is doing without food or water or both. As your walk with God and your fasting becomes a part of your spiritual walk, then there'll be times that you'll go on an extended fast, more than just one meal, more than just one day. Amen. God will help you. Amen. Fasting is a part of our spiritual walk. Church attendance. Now I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd. Here you are. But going to church, being in the house of God, getting teaching on Wednesday night is going to help you just as much as possibly even more than the hallelujah praise service we have on Sunday. Now, you're going to be blessed on Sunday too, but you need teaching as well. Amen. Church attendance is important. Prayer meetings are important. I'll say this without any reservation or regard for what other people think. No one succeeds in living for God if they are unfaithful to the house of God. Nobody. It's got to be a high priority in your life. It's got to be more important than some other things. Regardless of the weather, or if you've got visiting guests, if your guests don't want to go with you to church, leave them at your house and come to church anyhow. Leave them behind. I'm going to church. I hope you'll come with me. Please do come with. You're going to love our church. Come on with me. Try to talk them into it. But if they refuse to go, leave them. Pastor, that's so hard. I'll tell you what, your walk with God is more important to you than sitting with them another 2 more hours. Hebrews, and I got scripture for what I'm saying. It's right here in the Bible. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Oh, well, I can pray at home and I know who God is. No, you need to get yourself in church so that God can talk to you, so that God can bless you. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. God is coming soon. Our world is coming to the end of time. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We're supposed to get together. We're supposed to have doctrine and fellowship and eating together and praying together. It's part of the plan of God. Amen. You got to establish yourself in a church. Don't run from church to church. Don't church hop. Attend. Get yourself, when the doors are open, show up. Attend each revival service. Special services. Pause right there. I have an announcement to make. In October, we have our All Nations Revival. We will again this year. October 20, it's Sunday through Wednesday. Brother Felix Crowder will be with us in October. And I got the phone call yesterday. It was yesterday. From Brother McLaughlin, Kent McLaughlin, our children's ministry director. And he asked, can we have the children's crusade at Apostolic Lighthouse this year? What do you think my answer was? Yes, of course. We'd love to have that event at our church. We would be privileged to have that. We'll do it. I said, well, it's on August the 21st. It's the day before, Brother Crowder. October. No, that's... what did I say?
August.
Oh, woo! That was a slip. It's the day before Brother Crowder arrives, so I called Brother Crowder. Could you come one day early? So Brother Crowder is going to be here for our children's crusade on Saturday. And then we go directly into our All Nations Revival Week. You know, the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday Revival with Brother Crowder. He asked for the tent to be put up outside. So, end of October, it could snow. I told him, we'll see. We'll look at Monday or Tuesday on the weather forecast, and if it's warm and not rainy, or if it's inclement weather, we're not sitting out in a tent. We're coming inside where the heat is on. Amen. But he may want to go outside and have some kids stuff going on. And it may get some attention by people going by. Well, okay, we'll take that step back then in October. But the crusade is going to be here the day before Brother Crowder revival starts in October. So if you're in this area, get yourself in church. Amen. God wants to use you. Praise the Lord. Participate in worship and sit up front if you can. Amen. Everybody can't sit on the front row. But participate. This may be difficult. Ignore distractions. Okay? Don't be a distraction. Amen. Here's a general purpose comment. If what you're doing is taken away from what God is doing, that's a distraction. Amen. Praise the Lord. Worship. Get involved. And look over the petty problems. Let God and His house be the center of the attention. Amen. Faithful church attendance, witnessing your testimony. Share your testimony. How many times we've heard that lately? Praise the Lord. Never be ashamed to share what God has done in your life. Amen. It's a miraculous thing. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God wants you to be a witness. Mark 16, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid to pray for Him right then. You know, God can do a miracle in the car, in the kitchen. God can do a miracle sitting in the living room. Your greatest testimony is the life that you live. Amen. The life that you live, living for God, is a great testimony. Learn how to teach a home Bible study. Show a Christian spirit in your witnessing. Don't argue, judge, or you need to show love and kindness. Amen. Be friendly to all of our guests. Pray with our guests. We shouldn't have a guest in our church up at the altar all by themselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you've got the Holy Ghost and you see a guest in our church, pastor's over praying with this one and this one standing all by themselves, well then guess what? God's calling you to pray with that person. Be sensitive. Praise the Lord. Involve yourself in the church's ministries. Join in. Participate. Get involved. Don't be discouraged over petty problems that arise. I'm not going to use any names. I know somebody left our church and never came back because of a yard sale. That, in my definition, is a petty thing. you could throw all the junk away and it wouldn't hurt my feelings. Just take it with you when you go. And I'm leaving church. I ain't coming back to this church no more. Don't let that happen to you. Don't get all bent out of shape over something that is in the face of eternity. When you stand before God, why did you turn away from truth? Well, because that yard sale. You ain't going to have no answer. In this part, as pastor, it's a little hard for me to teach this part, but a pastor has a place and a position that was put there by God in a church. We need to become involved with God called people. Amen. Spiritual leadership will be provided through men and women in the church. God put people that He gives anointing to say of His word to reach us. Amen. That's what the church is for. See, the pastor has been given the position as being the spiritual bishop or overseer of a local assembly. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. You know, it puts responsibility on me, but it puts responsibility on you too. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Every one of us, pastor included, saints, everyone, need to trust in God. Cast your care upon Him. Other ministers will dispense spiritual food. There's other ministers that have very capably helped in the time that I've been away. And God is still blessing our church. God is still moving. The Holy Ghost is still functioning. Amen. Receive it with thanksgiving, which I'm so thankful our church does. Checking in your Bible to make sure what they're preaching is right there on the page. Amen. Check them out. Check out what I preach too. Make sure it's in the Word. Perfection. It's maturity. The edification will come to you through the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 15. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Man, there's a whole bunch of preachers out there, but you better find your way in the Word. But speak the truth in love. May grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ. Amen. I got to be more like Jesus. Praise the Lord. God's method for saving men and building faith is through the preaching of the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. I'll tell you what, our world is expounding in knowledge. I didn't bring my iPhone with me, but man, you could look up almost anything on that thing. It's full of knowledge. But they still don't know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching is important. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God set the ministry, especially that of the preaching, the pastor, those that deliver the word from this pulpit. In case you didn't know, I'm very particular about who comes and preaches from this pulpit. I don't just let somebody with a title. No, I'm not looking for titles. I'm looking for men of God, a good report, that are full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you don't meet that criteria, you are not, if I can do anything about it, coming to this pulpit. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation. Amen. That was Hebrews 13:7. Jumping down to verse 17, same chapter. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. For they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. I'll tell you what, God is going to hold me responsible for preaching the truth, for preaching the word, for letting people know how to be saved and how to stay saved. God's going to hold me responsible for you. So I take it very seriously. I want to be very selectively careful on what it is I'm preaching and teaching. Amen. Obedience to the Word of God, to the anointed preaching of the pastor, the ministry, is required as long as what we ask, we the ministry ask, is scriptural. We got to stay in the Word. You hear me, preachers? You better stay in the Word. Amen. Stay in the Word. Esteem and honor true, faithful ministers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Amen. The pastor and the ministers are men or women that are called by God. And it is a heavenly calling. Do not join the ranks of those that are ready and willing to criticize and to be rebellious or disobedient. If it's in the Word, support it. Prayerfully accept it. Encourage the ministry. Sometimes you need to say, preach! Amen. Amen. I don't know how much. I got more pages than I know what to do with at this point. Okay. Your relationship with others. Our church is wonderful. I tell you what. God has given us a wonderful church. Amen. Be a part of it. Get involved. Find some friends. Find some people who are spiritual. Rub elbows with them. You know, hang around with them. Spend some time with them. Amen. And it'll be good for your soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to jump to the next session. Okay. Romans, I'm going to go right to the end, and this is the part I left out of those notes I gave you. Go to Romans chapter 12, and I want to start reading at verse number 9. Here is identified conduct for the converted. Are you with me? Okay, you see it on the screen. Look at the screen or look in your Bible and read this out loud with me. And I'm closing with this little section here. It's a few verses, but we'll be done in just a few minutes. Read it out loud with me. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Good so far? You like that part?
Yeah.
Get rid of the evil. Hold on to the good. Sounds great, don't it?
Yeah.
Verse 10, let's keep going. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Sounds good, doesn't it? It's conduct for the converted. It's showing us how to live for God. Next verse, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I'll tell you what, you need to be fervent in your business. On your job, do a good job. Amen. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Do what they're paying you to do. But do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Verse number 12, read with me. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Praise the Lord. Verse number 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Well, nobody invites me over. What, did you invite somebody else over? It, you know, goes both ways. Verse number 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Here we are diverging from the worldly, carnal nature. This is conduct for the converted. Woo! Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Thank you for all those kind words and sympathy that you've shared with my family. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Again, it diverges from the carnal. Don't do evil for you. They did me bad. I'm going to do them worse. No. Forget that stuff. Somebody does bad to you, pray for them. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And that's not always easy. But that is conduct for the converted. That's how we're supposed to live for God. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You don't have to get back at anybody. Somebody is unkind to you, somebody lies on you, somebody does something wrong to you, someone does you bad. You just give it to Jesus. You just let God take care of it. Amen. That is conduct for the converted. Therefore, verse number 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21, the end of this portion. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. It's conduct for the converted. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Lord, I love you, Jesus. I adore you. I worship you. Lord, we know, God, of your wondrous ways. We know, God, that you are able. We are asking, Lord, even together right now, that in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that you would have your way in our lives. Lord, that you would teach us and show us, God, and help us, Lord, to do your will. Thank you, Lord, for it. Help us to live for you. Help us to do it, Lord. Put your word in us. Help us to live by it. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.